Hello, I'm Hashim Ahmed, contributing editor at Tortoise Media. Welcome to this, the third in our series of podcasts on economic clusters hosted by the CBI in partnership with Virgin Media O2 Business. Over this series, we've been considering the role of clusters, the role of business and other stakeholders, and how we can work in partnership to take the UK's current economic clusters from good to great. Today, we are in Glasgow, discussing how we can use clusters to help forge greater collaboration in innovation and commercialize ideas into leading products and services which can drive regional and national growth. I'm now joined by Ben Law, Vice President of UK and Ireland for GoDaddy, and Poonam Malik, Head of Investments at Strathclyde University. Ben, we've just had this fascinating discussion about innovation and clusters in Glasgow. Could you just tell us a little bit about what GoDaddy does and how it supports businesses in Glasgow and the role that you play in innovation and clusters?
Yes, certainly. So GoDaddy is the home of the everyday entrepreneur, micro businesses generally under 10 employees. And it's the place where people come to name their idea, create a website, grow their presence through digital tools. And at GoDaddy, we obsess over these micro business owners, these everyday entrepreneurs. We've released a body of research called Venture Forward. It's an academic piece of research. And in the UK, we know there's 5.6 million businesses. 96% of them, 5.3 million, are micro businesses. So they really are the engine of the economy. If these businesses can thrive, the economy can thrive and level up. And we know that these micro businesses drive innovation. And actually, in periods of economic downturn, these are the businesses that start to show the green shoots of recovery first. They innovate quicker, and then they contribute to the value of their local communities.
And what are you finding in terms of when you think about clusters and innovation, how are you finding many of these micro businesses collaborating around particular technologies or innovation or skills? How are you seeing that grow in terms of that issue?
It's twofold, really. Firstly, these micro businesses are big contributors through network effects in their local community. So one, over half these micro businesses turn over more than £25,000 per year, and three quarters of them employ at least one other person from the local area. So there's a natural clustering in terms of how these micro businesses, one, employ and add prosperity to an area. But secondly, because they're micro businesses, they're looking to other businesses like themselves, either as a supplier or as a knowledge network. So this networking happens, and that's where we start to see this network effect and clustering of micro businesses working with each other or collaborating with each other to further drive growth, both in their supply chain and their overall growth strategy.
Poonam, we heard a great deal about the role of higher education and further education and the collaboration that needs to exist between those institutions and businesses that are trying to innovate. Could you just tell us a little bit more about the role of the University of Strathclyde, but universities just generally, in helping grow businesses through that innovation and helping the clusters develop naturally?
Thank you, Hashi. It was our pleasure to host CBI in our Technology and Innovation Center. So that's the first example, as I said. We were able to come together with a wide variety of thinkers, leaders, policymakers in that space. And that's the role of anchoring institution in the university as a center for the city, for the nation, and for the place that it can be. Because there is the free floating ideas, and there is the freedom of research, and then there is a talent pool of current existing scholarly knowledge for which Strathclyde was founded in 1796 as a place of useful learning. Since then, it has transformed itself and leading as a leading technological university internationally, and it has an excellent reputation in the business community simply because of the talent that it has provided for the business leaders, but also what it is doing for the community. It is anchored and seeped in there. So I think it's a triangulation of people, that academia, which provides the knowledge, which generates inventions, but at the same time, it works with the business on those real world challenges, and industry. It is very good industrial engagement, but also supporter of those agile agile new startup businesses where innovation happens. And that is where we are talking about clusters today and the role of innovation in there, because as part of the Strathclyde Inspire strategy, which was launched early 2020, we are basically committed to create, launch and grow startup businesses. But there is another, which is commercial investments, and we invest from our own balance sheet. But what university does very beautifully as well is strategically support these clusters in space technology, data, digital, quantum, fintech or health technology, where there are existing strength, where there is need for businesses to do, to play that role where the co-organization can come. Similarly, we are sitting in the Glasgow City Innovation District, which is very much an existing partnership with the Glasgow City Council, with the Entrepreneurial Scotland, with the Glasgow City Chambers, and University of Strathclyde with Scottish Enterprise, where these leading organizations decide that work together to generate that place for people where this innovation happens, where the opportunities can be created.
And we recently heard that the Scottish Government is talking about freezing of funding for universities, and that's going to transform potentially into real-term cuts for the university. I mean, how do you think that's going to impact your agenda for more innovation and more innovative ideas of trying to be at the forefront of all of this?
So, Hashi, it's not a surprise that we are coming out of probably one of the most difficult times of our living memory that we have seen. We have seen COVID pandemic impact. We are seeing climate sort of emergency at our doorstep. We've had, especially living in Scotland or UK, we've had Brexit. And that is going to have the real impact. We are having highest inflation of 9%. And as a result, what we are seeing is austerity or cuts everywhere. So higher education and further education sector is not going to be left out of that. Definitely it'll have impact. I think we, on the other hand, as a person who's basically have had a career in academia and now working to support businesses, I would always suggest that to grow and fuel that economy engine of knowledge-based economy or well-being economy, we need to continue to support the sector, because this is where the future skills is going to come out. But looking from the perspective of Scottish Funding Council or the Scottish Government, which allocates the funding, and organizations like Skills Development Scotland, which works with the university, I think what we need to come together to think innovatively is how best we can utilize the resources available at our disposal. How best can we do this approach of Scottish Funding Council working with the universities, thinking about the innovation-based campuses where businesses can work very collaboratively on a common soil and in the same campus, and tackle those challenges which our NHS is facing, which the communities are facing, the planet is facing. So I think pooling the resources, utilizing them in the best possible way, and adopting the technologies that is available, and making sure that they solve the challenges of the businesses would be the key.
Ben, one of the things that's come out of the discussion of our thinking this afternoon was around what do micro businesses need in order for them to take matters to the next level, in order for them to innovate better, and in order, crucially, also for them to find their cluster homes. I mean, what are you finding is the real key ingredients that you need for that to happen?
Yeah, there's a few key themes that come out consistently when talking to owners of microbusinesses. Number one is access to capital. Many microbusinesses start with just a few hundred pounds of personal savings. So to get to that next level of growth or to invest in the facilities that they need, access to capital becomes really key for these business owners. Secondly is access to the right skills and learning. I'm really encouraged to hear about how innovation clusters can deliver that type of offering for a microbusiness owner. And then also related to that is access to space to grow the business, to employ staff. These businesses need the space to grow. So I think that's how innovation clusters can help, by providing those facilities, that opportunity to talk to potential investors or founders that have gone through a similar process before, in terms of how you can access capital under an institutional level of investment, and then how you can learn and network from a skills building point of view as well.
Poonam, I wanted to ask you about, there is a consensus that innovation is a vital ingredient in terms of helping businesses. But what are the sort of the main challenges of ensuring that clusters can drive this at scale and then successfully in a particular place?
I think taking on from what Ben said is that there are a few things that the businesses need. And on the other hand, from a provider side, to say that how are we enabling opportunities for having those available? So Ben mentioned access to capital, access to talent, access to space. So when universities are thinking about as an anchoring organization where it can provide a place or a forum or a birthplace of talent or interaction, then it needs to make sure that who are we needing to interact with, who are our partners and collaborators, so whether it's the Scottish Funding Council, Scottish Government, research councils, to get that funding for discussing. In one of the discussions, it was that the facilities need to be provided. So how are we having those demonstrator facilities done beforehand? Because there is a need for leadership there. Somebody needs to have that foresight, and universities are the best place for that foresighting and future-proofing, because we don't, none of us have crystal gaze, but it is based on the data, based on the emerging tech. So if those are happening, putting in applications, putting in those facilities, applying for funding to set up those where micro-businesses can come and access and trial, do they need market testing? Do they need some support for industry sort of relationship, partnering? Can university play that anchoring role? And the talent. So any micro businesses, even if they are employing one or two or 10, the talent to have that relationship, to train people in those subjects which are actually the need for skills. For example, now green skills are needed, the digital skills are needed, or the space sector needs. Where are those going to come from? So specifically designing those with organizations among themselves, and organizations like Skills Development Scotland, which provides apprenticeships. So I think that is where there is a key role for academia in cluster development.
Ben, when you think about the fact that GoDaddy is obviously a global company and you work all around the world, you're specifically obviously focused on UK and Ireland. I wonder whether you've noticed differences in different regions and sectors, and whether some are more switched on in this particular area than others, and why do you think that is, and what lessons can we learn about that?
Yeah, no, it's a really valid point. And actually across the UK, there are huge regional disparities in terms of the venture density of micro-businesses. So how many micro-business exist per 100 people of a local community? And actually what's really interesting in the data is there's still a clear north-south divide. And if we look at the data pre and post-pandemic, London, South East and South West are the top three regions for venture density of micro-businesses. And there was hardly any change in the 2 years over the main period of the pandemic. What I think we can look at from the data is actually down to constituency level, we can work with policymakers, educational institutions to really map out the opportunity and the gap, not just at a north versus south, but as a north versus south versus central in an individual constituency or city. So there's a lot of opportunity. We know these micro businesses add value and prosperity to the local community. That in turn drives more capital within an area to drive innovation. And actually there's really clear correlation between how venture dense an area is and the overall life satisfaction and prosperity and the impact on higher than average wages of that local community. So if we can get micro businesses to thrive, that's going to drive innovation, and it's also going to drive levelling up of local communities, both at a local, regional and national level.
But thinking about that north-south divide, Ben, are the issues around access to finance and capital, skills, infrastructure, whether that is technological infrastructure as well as physical infrastructure, what is it that sort of, what do you see as the main reasons for that north-south divide?
A number of reasons. I mean, infrastructure broadly is a key contributor. We see that from a broadband accessibility point of view. Areas that have higher access to broadband are more likely to have higher venture density. They're also more likely to earn above average wages as well. So there's a real key correlation. And all of that adds up from an infrastructure point of view. The north-south divide, there are pockets of different areas where we see more female entrepreneurship in some cities. We're still digging into that data. That's why we're in Scotland this week, learning about how those local authorities, how government agenda is driving success from an innovation and micro-business density point of view. And at GoDaddy, we want to make sure we can support these micro-businesses and make sure that we're having conversations and sharing that data with policymakers, with institutions, to make sure that conversations like this around innovation clusters can start off with the right data points before jumping to conclusions and decisions.
Now, Poonam, we know that the UK is very good at research and development, and we talked about what we've heard today at Strathclyde University. But we don't seem to be translating a lot of this at scale into sort of successful commercial ventures and products and services. Why do you think that is? And what would you want to see in the cluster approach that the CBI is very keen on driving to have at its core in order for us to change this?
Yeah, you hit a very critical point there, Hashim. As you say, that our research always is in the world leading research. We rate very highly, even in the world's top 10 universities, you will find, compared to the size, and UK, which is always said, punches above its weight. But that's in scholarly research, publications, reputation, and that's why we get a lot of students. But it's all the converse is also true, that when you does the translation of the businesses produced from that particular work or the challenges solved from that, we don't score as well. And quite a lot of it, if you think about it, potentially, historically, could go down to the culture of it and what is important. So certain organizations, for example, in Europe, the technical education is very hands-on. There are institutions which are very collaboratively work with industrial organizations, if, for example, whether it's the car industry, manufacturing, whereas traditionally UK academic institutions have scored very highly in blue sky research and big areas, but not that much industrial engagement and interaction. And I think over the number of years that has transpired, and there are, so besides the cultural aspect of it and the putting importance of it, reputation that's associated with that work, enterprise work, and the businesses. So the two seems to have worked parallelly for a long time. And that cultural divide of engagement between the businesses and academia to say, let's tackle the challenges, or there is need from one side and there is a solution on the other side, and how can we come at that point? There potentially wasn't that much more engagement, and that is the divide that needs to be interfaced and liaised together more and more with the impact agenda of the research excellence framework that is coming to front. Lots and lots of higher education, further education institutions have now engaged more. Some institutions does it very well. I would say Strathclyde has traditionally done it very well. It's got very good business engagement, has traditionally you see that in Golden Triangle and north in the south with the Oxford, Cambridge and Imperial. In Scotland, I would say, yes, you have University of Strathclyde, Edinburgh, Glasgow, Aberdeen, Dundee now coming and producing those engagements, and each one having their own strength in particular industrial areas, which particular startup areas that we work with. So it is that divide, but there is also an ecosystem effect here in terms of that what CBI could do or what the policies could do is creating that infrastructure ecosystem that's there. If you look at the Oxford, Cambridge and Golden Triangle, the three universities had to come together to combine their might to attract external investors, to attract that big industry to co-locate there. But once that is there, the startups are mushrooming, because in universities are providing that technology inventions, startups are agile in translating them into commercializable products, and industry is eventually there to adopt them and take up them. They are the buyers of that innovation and invention. Needing for that is there is the physical location, which is the infrastructure, but also the funding there because of this big access of private funding. The government can provide that placemaking there, but eventually you have to attract the private investor, and that's what is needing here a bit more of.
And finally, Poonam, just tell me what would be the sort of one thing that you've heard people talk about today that might be a takeaway from this third session on clusters and innovation in Glasgow.
I think overall what we heard today is a combination of factors. So if I were to point out one thing, that would be tricky, because what I say, it's the leadership that is needed to think for future and future gazing, which is academia is very good at providing. But also at the same time, you need support from the government for that policy and regulatory aspect, because we cannot take the challenges and their role in providing that public sector agencies, and then is the businesses, and for that to come together, that is when the innovation happens, and then that is where the people are trained for the future. So I would say for us to become that, We need to socialize our story. We need to tell it in a beautiful way so that we can attract more venture capitalists to come and see what kind of innovations and technologies here, and they can really scale. And we need to think global from the day one.
And Ben, your takeaway from today's session?
Yeah, I'd really follow up on that. Actually, I've been really impressed by how much innovation and collaboration is already happening within Glasgow and the wider region. And now I think it's really key to formulate that narrative to accompany the strategy around the future of innovation clusters.
My thanks to both Ben Law, Vice President of GoDaddy for UK and Ireland, and Poonam Malik, Head of Investments at Strathclyde University.
Thanks very much.
Pleasure.
My thanks to our guests today. I'm Hashim Mohammed. For our next Thinkin, we'll be in Liverpool, where we'll be discussing how business finance can drive cluster development and power growth. For more information on the CBI's cluster work, including Thinkin write-ups, case studies, and the latest live learning from their live learning demonstrator in Humber, please visit their digital platform at www.cbi.org.uk/cbi-clusters-playbook.